Among the estimated 150,000 people who spilled from St. Peter's Square out onto the Via della Conciliazione for Pope Benedict's last Sunday Angelus were burgundy blazers and caps of one of Britain's most famous Catholic schools, represented by their equally famous choir, the London Oratory Schola Cantorum. The boys were fresh from singing at morning mass in St. Peter's Basilica, where they were invited by the regular choir for all non-papal liturgies in St. Peter's, the Cappella Giulia, which is marking the 500th anniversary of its founding this year by inviting choirs from around the world to come and sing at the tomb of the apostle. At the end of mass, to the joy of the congregation, both choirs, situated opposite each other in the two transepts of the altar of the chair, sung the sublime double choir motet, Adoramus Te Christe, by the late Renaissance Slovenian composer, Jakob Handel. It was just one of the many moving moments at St. Peter's this Sunday, but without doubt the excellence of the singing and the beauty of the liturgical music was of great spiritual benefit to pilgrims who had flocked to Rome for this last appointment with Pope Benedict.
I offer a warm greeting to all the English-speaking visitors present for the Anson's prayer. Especially the Schola Cantorum of the London Oratory School.
The London Oratory Church has always had a reputation for excellence in liturgy and music, and it's come to slightly more prominence recently because of John Henry Newman and everything that took place during the papal visit to the United Kingdom, including, of course, the beatification at the at Cofton Park, which the boys sang for.
Charles Cole is the director of the London Oratory Schola Cantorum, and he dropped by Vatican Radio's studios ahead of Sunday to speak with me about what he termed musical evangelization and the great boost Benedict XVI's pontificate has given to the current renaissance in Catholic liturgical music.
The London Oratory School also has always had a very strong reputation for music, and in 1996 the junior house was opened to provide younger boys to sing in the newly founded Schola Cantorum. The first director of the Schola Cantorum was Michael McCarthy, who immediately set about making sure that he had a choir of supreme excellence, rigorous professionalism, to provide a really unique education for those boys who were singing in it. And very quickly that choir shot to fame. The word Schola Cantorum is Latin for a school of singers, and a Schola Cantorum tends to be a choir which is rooted in the Gregorian tradition and the Renaissance motets, which are a natural organic extension of the Gregorian chant, music which has literally grown out of the chant. And so Schola Cantorums tend to be choirs which sing quite a lot of Gregorian chant and Renaissance polyphony and all of the music that carries on the continuum of that. Music which is central to the church, part of the great treasury of music, a really rich heritage which we need to explore more and continue to develop and keep alive. The boys have come over for a number of reasons, actually. Yesterday they sang a concert at Sant Ignazio, which is the very, very beautiful church, very near the Pantheon in Rome. They sang a concert last night to a big capacity crowd. And on Sunday they are going to be singing at St. Peter's. And that's really the central reason for our visit. We were invited by Father Pierre Paul, who's the director of the Cappella Julia at the St. Peter's Basilica, to come and join his choir, because his choir has a very big birthday this year. My choir, the Schola, was founded in 1996, so it's relatively young. His choir is 500 this year, and so we've got this extraordinary opportunity to join with his venerable choir and share the liturgies of the day, the morning mass and vespers. The Cappella Julia is the choir that sings all of the services if you ever go to mass or vespers on a Sunday at St. Peter's, as opposed to the Sistine choir, which tends to sing when the Pope is present. And throughout the course of this year, Father Pierre has invited, I think, around 20 international choirs to come and join his choir to sing those liturgies, and we're the first of those, and we will be the first choir, in fact, ever to sing at vespers on a Sunday that's not one of the resident choirs of the Basilica. The music we're going to be singing at the Mass in the morning is largely English polyphony. Father Pierre was quite insistent. I'd been talking about singing some Palestrina, and he said, no, we know that around here. Bring some English stuff. So we're going to sing some music by the English Tudor composer, William Byrd. Of course, we are now into Lent, so all of the music has a penitential theme. And we will also be singing at the end of Mass a very beautiful piece by a Slovenian composer, Jakob Handel, which is written for two choirs, and the two choirs will join for that, singing at some distance to each other across the chapel of the altar of the chair. There are two organs on either side of the nave there, and each choir will be just in front of one or the other organ. So we're going to have quite a logistical challenge on our hands to keep that piece of music together, but I'm hoping that it will work. In the afternoon, we go back to the Basilica to sing Vespers, and that has been a real challenge for the boys because they're well used to singing liturgical music, they're well used to singing motets and masses, but they haven't sung a Vespers, certainly that I know of, and they've had to effectively learn something that is very routine to priests and to monks and to people who sing Vespers regularly, but they've had to learn it all from scratch for effectively one occasion, which is going to be in St. Peter's. So that has been a big challenge. But I think it's actually been the challenge that's most interested the boys. They've really set themselves to it. And I think they're going to really do well tomorrow. I'm certainly hoping they are. I think all that hard work, learning how to sing psalms, learning the right amount of pause in the middle of the psalm verses, learning the right reciting speed so that it's musical and clear, so that the text is really carried across, all of that effort can't just go into one service. We've got to keep that going. So I would like them certainly to sing another Vespers in the future, in the near future, and who knows, it might become a regular item on their agenda. I think the music of the church has such an important role in developing the faith and nourishing our faith and reinforcing things. I think certainly in this day and age where, frankly, being a Catholic is very, very difficult when we have a constant stream from the media telling us that Catholic truths are sort of off target and no longer in vogue. And there are certain truths that we can appreciate in the music which tell us that, no, we're not wrong. We're definitely doing the right thing, and we need to keep at it. I think the music is something very, very comforting. But of course, it's our dialogue with God. It's the way we relate to him through the liturgy. And for that to be something available to the boys in the choir, I think is of huge importance. It's something I experienced as a chorister, and I want others to experience that too. Domino canticum novum, cantate. I've always been working within church music. I started out as a chorister aged 7 at Westminster Cathedral, and church music has always been part of my life, and it seemed to make completely natural sense for me to carry on. I was never going to be a great singer, frankly, but I started playing the organ, and I got quite good at that. But it's conducting that I'm far more interested in doing now, and it's wonderful for me to try and hand back some of the things that I've been given. If you look across the Atlantic Ocean to the United States of America, you'll see an incredible musical evangelization going on over there. I'm fortunate enough to work with the Church Music Association of America, and they carry out a huge scale of training and tuition for church musicians, for parish musicians, for singers, for conductors, on a scale that's really only possible in the United States. The Church Music Association of America has a very very lively and very dynamic website called the Chant Cafe, and if you go on there, you'll find that there's a huge conversation going on globally between musicians all over the world, discussing Gregorian chants, discussing Renaissance polyphony, and discussing ways of making all of that music as accessible as possible, translating it into English, and continuing to write music that grows out of that style. It's a really incredible thing to behold. Under the pontificate of Benedict XVI, there's been a particular focus on the relationship of the liturgy and the music and this remarkable heritage, and it's grown to ever greater prominence. But it never really went away. It's always been there, and it's something that we simply need to retrieve and access a little more and keep alive and nurture, because frankly, that music is so special, so unique for the church. If you were making a film set in a Catholic church and you wanted to make sure that people watching understood that it was a Catholic church, you'd probably put Gregorian chant in the background, and then there'd be no doubt about it, because it's our music, that's what it's for. Under Benedict XVI, I don't think anyone's been left in any doubt as to the importance of music for him and the importance of liturgy. And the two are so intertwined, and they simply have been given a huge boost under his pontificate, and that will last for a long time to come. But we're very, very grateful to him for his help with that. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you.
Our thanks there to Charles Cole, director of the London Oratory Schola Cantorum, and of course, the boys themselves, for their wondrous and gifted praise of God in song. I'm Emer McCarthy.